John Walden here. Our studies in Philippians have brought us to the fourth chapter, the closing chapter of this wonderful letter. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Therefore, connects us with the preceding truths, where he's been telling us that our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, that we're looking for the Lord from heaven, that he's going to change our bodies, and that he is able even now to subdue everything to him. And because of this, he says, stand fast in the Lord. Now, you and I cannot do this in our own strength, of course. And the fourth chapter of Philippians tells us about Christ as our strength. We saw in the last chapter how that he was our object. We have our eyes on him. Now, he is the one who gives us the strength. We are not able to do anything for the Lord except with this divine strength. But you and I, who are Christians, must draw on this resource. We must be continually looking to the Lord for help. Notice the loving titles here. My brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. My joy and crown, my dearly beloved. I don't know what Paul's nature was like. I don't know what kind of a man he was before the Lord saved him, but he certainly became a very loving and tender-hearted shepherd for the people of God. And this is wonderful, because only God can do this with a man who in his unsaved days was persecuting the church of God. Now when he tells us to stand fast in the Lord, he is telling us not to give in to the enemy. In the sixth chapter of Ephesians, we're told that we are to stand, having our loins girt about with truth, having on the armor of God, and having done all, to stand. It isn't a matter of making advances against the enemy so much as it is just standing our ground and claiming what we do have. Now notice verse 2 of the fourth chapter. I beseech Euodias, and I beseech Syntyche, these are women's names, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. One of the reasons for writing the Epistle to the Philippians was to settle a difficulty between these two women. But he waits until he gets to the last chapter to say anything about this. After he had already given them the wonderful teaching about the humility of Christ and told them how well some others have done, then he tells them, I'd like you to be of the same mind. Now, this didn't mean that Syntyche was to give in to Euodias, nor Euodias to give in to Syntyche. But it meant that each of them were to have the mind of Christ. Each of them to find out what the Lord wanted them to do, and then they'd get along with each other. Now, they had labored with Paul, apparently, because verse 3 says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. All of those who have anything to do with Christian work must have their names in the book of life. This is called in the book of the Revelation the Lamb's book of life. It means the names of those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot work for God until you have first of all trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Now these fellow laborers that he tells about here were not necessarily preachers. Certainly we know the women did not preach, because Paul tells us plainly in 1 Corinthians 14 and again in his letter to Timothy that the women are not to teach or usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence, as also saith the law. They were not to take part in a public meeting, but they were to teach the other women and to teach the children. And of course there were many other ways of laboring besides in preaching. Perhaps they provided a home for him while he was away from home preaching, or perhaps they saw that his clothing was mended or washed, or that he had new ones. There are lots of ways of helping with the gospel. Now he tells us in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. He didn't want his rebuke to discourage them. He didn't want, because it was necessary to correct something in their lives, that they should feel that they were discouraged. There was nothing ahead for them. They couldn't go on for the Lord. He said, rejoice. You've got lots to rejoice about in the Lord. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The word moderation is translated in some versions, yieldedness or sweet reasonableness. Your willingness to get along with other people. Let others know about that. Let me ask you, brother, sister, do your friends know you as a person who is willing to yield, or do you always win the arguments and lose your friends in the process? You see, the reason we're not to be self-willed and trying to have our own way in everything is because the Lord is at hand. That means the Lord is nearby. He is close at hand. He hears all that you say, and he sees all that you do. You know, we sort of have our good behavior on when we have company. Well, the Lord is always there. Let's be careful how we behave with our fellow Christians. Then he says, be anxious for nothing. The word careful in our King James Version is literally anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about a thing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The Lord doesn't want us to be disturbed. He doesn't want us to be worried about conditions in the world about us. He wants us to leave it with him. This has been paraphrased, this verse, something like this. Worrying about nothing, praying about everything, and thankful for anything. And don't forget the thanksgiving part of it. If God gives you an answer to your prayer, come back to him with a thankful heart. Now, what will happen if I, instead of worrying about things, I bring everything to the Lord in prayer? Well, the results are given in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word keep here means to garrison as with soldiers. The Lord will protect your heart and mind with his own peace. It's a wonderful thing to have peace with God. According to Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. This is not something that we feel, but this is a state into which God has brought us. He tells us that we are no longer his enemies now. We are reconciled to him, and we are at peace with him. Our sins have been put away. Then when we come to him and leave everything in his hands, he tells us that the peace of God will be ours. That is the same kind of peace that God enjoys. The same peace that our Lord Jesus enjoyed when he lifted his heart to the Lord and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me. He was thankful to his Father because he knew everything was in his Father's hands. Talk about mental hygiene. Here's a way to have your mind kept. Here's a way to be kept from worry. Of course, there are times when a person may need medical care, but most people would be greatly helped. Christians would be greatly helped if they would just learn to cast all their care upon the Lord, knowing that he careth for us. Now we're to replace the wrong thoughts with right thoughts. And so in verse 8, he tells us, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest or venerable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, these things are actually the things which we see in the life of the Lord Jesus. He is the very embodiment of verse 8. His life was filled with these things. So meditation on the Lord Jesus and his ways will replace in our minds these wrong things. If you have trouble with evil thoughts, don't try to stop thinking. Just feed into your mind the right kind of thoughts that will replace them. And this is possible, or the Lord would not have told us to do this. He says, these things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So we have peace with God by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We have the peace of God, which comes because we cast all our cares upon him, take everything to him in prayer. And then we enjoy the presence of the God of peace. Now, the God of peace in your heart and life, the God of peace being with you, as he says here, is much greater than peace with God or the peace of God, because this is his own presence. This is the assurance that he is with us. He's not against us. He is for us. And when we receive him as Savior, we can count on his daily help, on his kindness to us in every way. You see, the Lord is offering us an opportunity here to fill our hearts with the right kind of things, to come into his presence and to talk everything over with him. And when you pray, you should have some time for confession of sins. Every Christian should confess his sins to the Lord often. Then there should be a time of communion. And then we should spend some time in intercession for others. And, of course, there should be the spreading of our petitions before the Lord and thanksgiving for the things that he has done. We should inquire of the Lord as to what he wants us to do. And we should not forget to spend some time in his presence in praise and worship. Well, you see, there's a great deal to talk over with the Lord, and you ought to have some time and a place where you can meet daily with the Lord. And now just let me say a word, if you're not a Christian, this is not your privilege. You can't come to the Lord in prayer. Your name isn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can't rejoice in the Lord because you haven't trusted the Lord. You have no right to have peace. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But if you would turn to the Lord Jesus and let him take your sins away, you could begin to enjoy with us, who are Christians, something of the peace with God and the peace of God, which will keep your hearts, keep your minds through the Lord Jesus Christ. I beg of you to turn to him today. Our Father, we ask you to bless thy word to thy dear children who have listened. And we pray again for those who are not saved, that they might see how very much they need him. We thank thee for thy loving kindness. We thank thee for the peace of God which we enjoy. And we commit all into thy care in our Savior's precious name. Amen.